You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Caution, some content of this class may be upsetting to certain students. What would you think if that warning came at the beginning of a college lecture?
Being uncomfortable, being upset, being even a little bit offended is different than having a panic attack, blacking out, hyperventilating, screaming in a classroom, feeling like you're under such physical threat, whether it's real or perceived, that you act out violently in front of other people.
Somebody needed a warning. That junior at UC Santa Barbara is not talking about math anxiety. Bailey Loverin is behind a movement to require professors include what are called trigger warnings in college courses. The idea is that certain subjects can trigger anxiety and even painful flashbacks of past traumatic experiences, images of war and crime, sexual assault, historical tragedies, intense movies. UC Santa Barbara has become the first school to mandate such trigger warnings. There are movements to add them to college courses at Oberlin, Rutgers, and some other schools, which smacks of sanitizing reality to some of you out there. Rob from Taylor, Michigan says, unless you are a young prodigy, once you've hit college, you're pretty much an adult. All graphic images should be shown because that's the world we live in. Might as well see it and hope you don't see it again. And from Miami, college is supposed to prepare a person for real life. Real life doesn't provide for trigger warnings. College students should expect a diversity of opinions and experiences without a warning. You can reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Professor Ari Cohen, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Nebraska, why do this?
Well, I think that sometimes it can make sense. And sometimes it could be a little bit overblown. I teach a variety of different classes here, some political philosophy, some human rights. In my human rights classes, I've always told students from the first that the material is potentially very upsetting. We're dealing with torture, we're dealing with genocide, we're dealing with sexual violence. And the potential there is, I think, quite real to be not simply disturbing, right? We all should be disturbed about those sorts of things. But because of the kind of evocative readings that I choose, the potential really exists to traumatize or re-traumatize someone who's had some experience with this sort of thing. In that sense, I tell students, look, this is the class you signed up for, and this is the kind of material you're dealing with. Take care of yourself, right? Know what you're getting into. Talk to your friends, read slowly, take breaks, all of those sorts of things. And I think when you do that, it really lets students know what's coming. And because they're prepared for it, because they're taking their time, it's really led to much better discussions in class after they've done the work. But this is quite different from when I teach a political philosophy course. If they're reading Plato or they're reading Nietzsche or something like that, the idea is for them to be challenged. I want to kind of shake them up. I want to ask them questions that make them really consider their previously held opinions or beliefs.
Well, I tell you, I'm very suspicious of the kind of warning label approach here, but I am familiar with some of this. I mean, I remember in high school and in college to a certain extent when really graphic Holocaust movies were shown, there were warnings, and there was, an expectation that there were probably people in the class who had relatives who maybe even directly experienced some of this. And so the warnings made a lot of sense. But I do believe that if you get into this warning label approach, I mean, it just really feels like everyone's in a padded room.
Yeah. I have the same sense. And I think most professors certainly that I've talked to have that sense. We don't want to be in a position where we're sanitizing everything for them, right? So saying to students, look, we just don't think you'll be able to handle this. We're going to make that decision for you. I think that there's a real problem with that because, college is a time when they're supposed to figure out, what they can do and what they want to learn about and really kind of push themselves.
So what do you think of what UC Santa Barbara has done? Would you oppose that? Do you think that's fine? Do you think they have their act together here?
My sense is that this has to be something that faculty are figuring out on their own. I think that if this is being mandated, I think that if it's a requirement that we have to kind of issue a blanket caution to everybody, I think that the potential exists to really dumb down what we're doing in the classroom. If we put these statements on our syllabi or whatever, then, you know, we'll say, okay, we're covered, and we'll just do whatever we like and not worry about it. I think that's quite different from actually being mindful of the material that you're teaching and using things that are potentially upsetting or even traumatizing to teach.
I'm wondering if the fix here, or if the compromise position would be urging professors to maybe know a little more about their students. I mean, some of that might be impractical in giant lecture classes, but, you know, you could say, for instance, are there any students here who might have experienced war directly in Uganda, knowing that there could easily be exchange students or foreign students, immigrant students who have had experiences like that. And similarly with sexual assault, you could ask a question and, you know, encourage people to come and talk to you if they're having issues without issuing a kind of blanket warning. Knowing your students means you can craft customize your material for the class that you actually have.
Yeah, I mean, it's always helpful to get to know the students. It takes a while, obviously. And I think that, you know, saying something like, hey, if you've had something really traumatizing happen to you, come talk to me, it has its own challenges, right?
Right.
I find myself frequently telling students who come to my office, you know, hey, we're not trained for these sorts of things, right? And explicitly, we're not. We don't have mental health training or any of that sort of thing, by and large. But there are all sorts of resources on our campuses. So I do think that there is a real virtue to figuring out the composition of your classroom, but you're always – it's never going to be perfect, right?
Right?
There's always the potential, completely hidden, completely unknown, that might sneak up and really catch somebody unaware. They might not even know that something is going to trigger them. I was talking with students on Facebook after I wrote this about this on my blog, and one of the students remembered an incident that from many years ago in my class that I didn't remember, where I think I was using suicide as an example in a philosophy course, and someone became very, very upset and had to leave the room. I mean, you never know what an example will trigger in somebody. And so it's hard to say, gosh, I'm speaking off the cuff, but I wonder if this might present an issue for somebody. We really don't know.
Professor Ari Cohn is Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by Lumosity.com, the brain training program designed by neuroscientists and used by 50 million people, created to improve memory and attention. More at Lumosity.com.